So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
It's a great song. It's one of my my favourites. Now, we've been singing some wonderful Christmas songs and listening to some great Christmas songs on the video. Now, I'm going to play a song. The words will come up on the screen that makes it into many people's lists of Christmas favourites. Maybe it's on your list of favourites. Maybe you've already heard it this Christmas. It's played a lot at Christmas, which I find quite strange because it's not really a Christmas song. So we're going to play it. The words will come up on the screen. Listen to the words, focus on the words, and see what you think. See if you recognize it as we start playing it as well. When a child is born. Who sang it? Johnny Mathis. This was number one in 1976, a long time before I was born. But number one, 1976, written by a guy called Fred Jay, who also wrote Rasputin for Boney M. Some people are totally glazed over now. Some people are nodding. Feel free to sing along to the words. Feel free to wave your hands in the air as well.
A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A silent wish sails the seven seas. The winds of change whisper in the trees, and the walls of doubt crumble, tossed and torn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A rosy hue settles all around. You've got the feel, you're on solid ground. For a spell or two, no one seems forlorn. This comes to pass when a child.
And all of this happens because the world is waiting, waiting for one child. Black, white, yellow, no one knows. But a child that will grow up and turn tears to laughter, hate to love, war to peace, and everyone to everyone's neighbor. And misery and suffering will be words to be forgotten forever. It's all a dream, an illusion now. It must come true, sometime soon, somehow. All across the land, dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born.
No one's doing the arms. Very, very popular. It's on all the Christmas compilation albums. It's been covered 74 times at the last count. So as I say, very, very popular. So popular that some people were very, very upset when someone gave it a thumbs down on one of the YouTube videos that I was watching. And what they put, who on earth put a thumbs down for this song? This is the best Christmas song ever. Whoever gave it a thumbs down once their head examining, it's no wonder the world is the way it is with people like that in it. It was me. It was. I gave it the thumbs down. I hate that song. It's not my favourite Christmas song. It's my least favourite Christmas song because it's not a Christmas song. I don't like it. What is the song saying? Well, on one level, it's saying that the birth of a child is a special time, and that's true, of course, and we'd all agree with that. Whenever a new life comes into the world, it's a wonderful thing. But that's not just what the song is saying, if you're listening carefully. It's not all that the song is saying. What that song is saying is that the birth of a child is a special time because the world is waiting for the birth of a special child. A child who will save the world and change misery and suffering forever, end it forever. In other words, the world is waiting for the Messiah. The world is waiting for the one promised in the Old Testament. That song is saying that Christmas hasn't happened yet. It says we're still waiting for Christmas. We're still waiting for the promised Christ. According to that song, the child that we've been thinking about this evening, Jesus, is not the promised Messiah. Now, all the songs, all the other songs that we've been singing and listening to tonight, and the nativity that we've watched and heard, they've said otherwise. They've said, he is the Messiah. They're saying that Johnny Mathis is wrong. And he is wrong. And I want us to see, just for a few moments, why he's wrong. And why that song isn't a Christmas song. Jesus' arrival, as we've already said this evening, was announced in advance. One of the phrases that keeps coming up in the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth and his life is this. This happened, or this took place, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. For centuries, God had been getting the world ready for the arrival of his son, the Messiah. He sent prophets to tell us what to look for, so that we would be prepared, so that we would be ready, so that we would know when the arrival happened. These are the kind of things that the prophet said. He'll be from Abraham's people, from that great nation, the Jewish nation. He'll be from the tribe of Judah. He'll be from King David's family. His birth will be a very special birth. He'll be born to a virgin. He'll be born in Bethlehem, a tiny place that no one really gave much thought to. But he'll be born in Bethlehem at a time when the temple in Jerusalem was still standing. He'll do amazing things. He'll begin his work in the north of the country, in Galilee. And the things that he'll do will be wonderful. He'll make the blind see. He'll give movement to the lame. He'll give hearing to the deaf. He'll give life to the dead. And yet, he'll be despised. He'll be rejected. He'll be betrayed by one of his closest friends for 30 pieces of silver. He'll be handed over to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. He'll be crucified. He'll be buried in the tomb of a rich man. And 3 days later, he will rise again. All these things were said of God's promised king, the Messiah, hundreds of years in advance. The Old Testament has over 300 distinct prophecies concerning the coming Messiah, all of them fulfilled in the life of one man, Jesus. All of them Do you know what the mathematical possibilities of all those prophecies coming true in the life of just one man is? Well, here it is. Written it down as a fraction. Someone's done the calculation. It's 1 in 840 followed by 96 zeros. I don't know if there's a name for that number. It's an astronomical number. We had a professional mathematician in our earlier service, and he was astounded by that figure. And he's, well, it just can't be chance, can it? And that's true. The Messiah has to be Jesus of Nazareth. It cannot be anybody else. It can only be Jesus. So Johnny Mathis is wrong. The world is not waiting. The child was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. The details of Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, as recorded in the Gospels, are such a clear confirmation for anyone who cares to look. Jesus is the Messiah. The fulfillment of prophecy sends a very powerful message to us. It's this: you can trust God. He keeps his word, always. And don't we need someone to trust? Our world's crying out for someone to trust. We want someone who is much bigger than us. Aren't we tired of trusting the things and the people of this world who let us down so often? Tired of trusting them for understanding and for strength and for hope? Well, in the astonishing fulfillment of prophecy, God says, I am the person you can trust. Trust me. And it's with the birth of this child, Jesus, that the walls of doubt tumble, tossed and torn. It's with Jesus that we stand on solid ground. And if you're a Christian tonight, if you're standing with Jesus, then know this: you are standing on very, very, very solid ground. Sometimes the world can make you feel silly for being a Christian, as if you're believing in fairy tales. But as I said earlier, the evidence for the reality of this story, for the reality of Jesus and his truth, is absolutely compelling. Compelling. I've been a Christian for a long time now. And sometimes when I meet people, they think, oh, you're just a Christian because you're gullible and you believe in fairy tales. But I'm a Christian because I followed the evidence. And the evidence points in one direction. Jesus is who he says he is. And he can do what he says he can do, save us. One more thing to say about the song, When a Child is Born. And that is that the song implies that Jesus is not the Messiah because he didn't deliver the goods. His mission failed. You know, the promised king would bring peace and he would end all suffering forever. But we don't see that in the world. The angels sang of peace on earth, but where is it? All we see is fighting everywhere. Well, if Jesus' mission was to end all wars, then his mission was a failure. But that's not what's meant by peace on earth. Let's listen again, or look again very carefully, to what the angels did say. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to people on whom God's favor rests. The peace we're talking about here isn't between people and people. It's between people and God. It's about peace to people. Do you see that? On whom God's favor rests. It's about peace from God to us. And the writer of a very popular Christmas song, another Christmas song, understands this, understands what the angels were saying. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, brought together, peace. There's a deeper problem in this world than all the wars, and that's the war that exists between people and God. We've picked a fight with the God who made us. He gave us the world, but the world was not enough for us. He gave us himself, but we didn't want him. He made us his children, but we didn't want that. We wanted to be his boss. We bailed out of the relationship. In a wicked act of rebellion, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they tried to take God's throne. They tried to take what was not rightfully theirs. They tried to take his place. They sinned. They did what we all do. They sinned. We sin. We put ourselves in God's place. We live as if we're God. We make life about us and not about God. We're born that way. We're born enemies of God. We're born fighting against him. And that's why, you know, we're less concerned about God's plans than we are about our own plans. We get more excited about what we want and what we desire than what God wants and He desires. It's why we love God's gifts, but we don't really love Him. We love them more than we love Him. So our war with God is a very serious thing. And there's a penalty, the Bible says, to be paid. And Christmas is about God's response to His enemies. That's what Christmas is about. We declared war on God. And at Christmas, God has come and He declares peace. Peace. He doesn't come to judge. He doesn't come to condemn, although that's what we deserve. He comes to save. He comes to restore. Jesus came to bring peace in love. He came to end our war with God. And He came to do that by paying the penalty that we deserve. Here's what it says elsewhere in the Bible. But while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. Jesus was born to die. He came and He stood in our place and He died our death. The Christmas story is a substitution story. Our great crime is that we try to substitute ourselves for God. God's great response is that He came and substituted Himself for us. We fight against God. We put ourselves where only God deserves to be, on the throne. And God sacrifices Himself for us and puts Himself where only we deserve to be, on the cross. We try and grasp the privileges that belong to God alone, and He accepts the punishment that belongs to us alone. And that's love. And the Christmas story is the greatest love story of all. God loving us. And the result is reconciliation. The result is peace. God's enemies can be His friends. We can be His children once again. It's very, very good news. Good news of great joy for those who accept it. God's plan has always been to create a new world where there's no reason to cry ever. That's always been His plan. And this will happen when Jesus returns. And that's what the world is waiting for. We're not waiting for the arrival or the birth of a child whose identity no one knows. We're waiting for the coming of a man whose identity we do know. Jesus will come back as judge and Lord of all, and He'll put everything right, and He'll make everything new. And on that day, He will turn tears to laughter and hate to love, and war to peace, and He will turn everyone's neighbor to everyone's neighbor. And on that day, misery and suffering will be words to be forgotten forever. But only for God's children. Only for God's children. And that's why the most wonderful thing in the world is not when a child is born. The most wonderful thing in the world is when a person is born again. It's when someone stops fighting God and becomes a child of God by receiving Jesus and the peace that He came to bring us with God. That's the most wonderful thing in the whole wide world. So let me ask you, are you a child of God? And if not, will you become a child of God this Christmas? That's what God wants. That's why He sent Jesus. How do you become a child of God? Well, this is how you become a child of God. It's one of our readings from our Nativity. To all who received Him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, it's God's work, not ours. You don't have to be good at being good to become a child of God. It's not about obeying rules. It's about receiving Jesus. It's about simply believing who He is and what He's done. It's not about trying, it's about trusting. So ask Jesus to save you. Ask Him to make you a child of God, and He will. It's what He longs to do. And you will discover that Johnny Mathis is wrong and the Bible is right. It is no dream. It is no illusion. It is real. It is true. Forgiveness of sins is real. Peace with God is real. The right to be a child of God is real. And all this came to pass when a child was born. Unto us a child was born. Unto us a son was given. And his name is Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Let's sing of that peace in our final carol tonight. Hark the herald angels sing. Let's